What if what we're doing right now this morning was illegal based on a law that might be passed at some future date? Would it change our faith? Would that change in circumstances change our faith in God? Not Daniel. In fact, the text specifically tells us in verse 10 that Daniel knew the writing had been signed. And he went home, and it was business as usual in regard to his faith and prayer to God. So a change, number one, a change in the law or a change in circumstances, maybe at the workplace or wherever it may be, a change that would encourage us or is intended to encourage us to have less reverence for God, less display of our faith, any kind of change that would encourage us to worship someone other than the God of heaven that our faith is in, the God of the Bible, would it change our faith? Let's learn a lesson from Daniel. Number two. Those who do not respect or follow my faith, those who do not respect or follow my faith, they observe how much I respect my faith and how much I faithfully follow it. Look at these people who were the enemies of Daniel in this text. They knew what Daniel's way of life was. And they tried everything they could to bring up some kind of charge against him under the law of the Persians. And they couldn't do it. So finally they said, we'll have to find some kind of violation in Daniel's life against the laws of his God. We'll have to find something that we can convict David on under his God. You see, they didn't respect David's God. They didn't respect David's lifestyle. They didn't, want to follow it. They weren't interested in learning anything about David's God. But they knew that David respected his God. And they knew that David faithfully followed his God. And you see, there's a lesson here. The enemies of the Bible, the enemies of the cross, the enemies of Christianity, the enemies of the church, they may not be very interested in our faith. They may not want to study the Bible with us to the point of believing and obeying the gospel. They may not care to follow or they may not even respect our faith. But they observe us. They see us. And although they may not care to follow it themselves, although they may not care to be very faithful about it themselves, although they may even, have no tolerance for it whatsoever, they know where we stand. They know what we believe, even though they may not believe it themselves. And they know whether I am who I say I am. They know whether I really am faithful. They know whether I choose to believe what I say I believe. The world is watching. I'm talking to us as children of God. The world is watching us. What do they see? What do your neighbors see and hear about you? What do your co-workers see and hear about you? What do your schoolmates and your classmates see and hear about you? What do they see in us? The world is watching. They may not respect our faith. They may not have any desire to become a part of New Testament Christianity, but they see us. The world is watching. What do they see? Lesson number three, or application number three from our text is this. The jealous, arrogant, condescending attitude of the enemies of Christ will eventually undo them. the jealous, arrogant, condescending attitude will eventually undo an evil man. Now notice that Daniel did not take it upon himself to do anything for his enemies. Daniel did not make them his enemies. But Daniel put his faith and his trust in God, and Daniel knew that eventually this jealous attitude, this hateful, condescending attitude that these men had, eventually it would come back to bite them. You may recall that the Bible tells us in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, in the book of Proverbs and in Romans chapter 12, that God says what? Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And so the condescending attitude, the evil attitude, the hateful attitude, the jealous attitude of people of the world, people of Satan, will eventually come back to undo them. And that calls for us to be remarkably patient in God and to have great faith in God. Because it's not very easy when you're facing those kind of people. It's not very pleasant to be on the receiving end of a jealous, hateful, condescending, plotting, conniving person. But we have to realize that eventually all of that's going to come back to undo them. And we see, obviously, when we look at Daniel chapter 6, what happens to these men, that even this decree is enacted against them to where they're thrown into the lion's den. And they receive the punishment that they wanted so badly to be inflicted on Daniel. Number four, and this kind of leads into... we've already kind of led into this. Number four, the evil deeds of evil men will come back on their own heads. In the sense in which number three and four are very closely related to one another, but as we're making application number three, you know, this attitude will undo these men. Number four, their evil deeds will eventually come back on their own heads. And we see how they were thrown into this lion's den. What they wanted to happen to Daniel happened to them. And I guess very closely related to that is a fifth application connected to these men being thrown into the lion's den, and it's this. Application number five, sin has far-reaching consequences. And it can hurt or even be deadly to innocent people. Because when we read that text again in Daniel 6, verse 24, not only were those men thrown into that lion's den, but also their wives and their children, their families. Now, they were pagans just as much as the men were. But there's no indication necessarily that the wives and the children, the families, were involved in this jealousy and this attitude and this plot to bring Daniel down. And yet, a lesson we learn here is that sin has far-reaching influence. And that sin has far-reaching consequences. And sometimes, because of the sin of one member of the family, many members of the family may suffer. Sometimes, because of the sin of one person, many individuals may suffer and hurt, maybe even die. And so there's a tremendous lesson here for us to learn about my sin, my choices can hurt many innocent people. And it's not just about me. It's not just about, well, I'm going to do this and nobody's going to be hurt. I'm going to do this and you know, I'm a private person and I'm not going to hurt anybody. But you know what? So many times our sins hurt so many people. And in this case, even it's deadly. So, my lesson to learn, our lesson to learn, is that sin has consequences even for those that we don't mean for it to have consequences on. Oh, they wanted Daniel. Instead, it was them and their families. A lesson that you and I need to learn about those kind of consequences. Number six. Application number six. The New Testament tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that the devil, our adversary, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Well, here's the application. The roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, is powerless against the Lion of Judah. Kind of interesting that in the Bible, that the symbolic usage of a lion is applied both to the devil, 1 Peter 5, and also to Jesus Christ, because he's called the Lion of Judah in prophecy and in fulfillment. Well, there's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. That's Satan. That's the devil. He's our adversary. He's trying to kill us. He's trying to devour us. He's trying to stop us in everything that we do. But for the person who puts his faith in the Lion of Judah, that lion is powerless. James chapter 4 tells us that we draw near to God and that the devil will flee from us. And that we put our faith and our hope and our trust and our confidence and our whole life and mind and soul and being in God. And when we do that, the devil is powerless. You may recall that Jesus himself was tempted directly by the devil. You read about it in Mark 4 and Luke 4. And that each time Jesus would respond to him, "It is written," he would quote from the Bible. And finally, the devil left because he was made powerless. You see, there's an enemy. And he's likened unto this lion. It's like what we envision when we see Daniel being, you know, thrown into this lion's den, into this pit or this cave or however the structure was composed. But the Lion of Judah was there. And Daniel says, when we begin to look at the text, that God sent his angel to shut the mouths of the lions. You know, I was listening to somebody talking about Daniel one time, and he says, you know, I've kind of wondered a couple of things. Number one, I know the lions were made powerless and that they had their mouths shut, but I sort of wonder if some of those lions walked up to Daniel and rubbed their nose against him and smelled of him a whole lot, you know, and were interested in who is this guy and I can't open my mouth, though. And it's also a great irony here that when we read about King Darius, that he goes back to the comfort of the palace and he can't sleep. But Daniel's there in the lion's den, probably completely peaceful, because he knows God is taking care of him. And when we make application of this to our own faith, and we realize there's a powerful lion out there seeking to devour us, but when we put our faith, our hope, and our trust in the Lion of Judah, in the God of heaven, he's powerless. His jaws are shut. His power is taken. Resist the devil, James 4, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God. Application number 7. Our text is about prayer. And the 7th application we want to make is this. Prayers are answered. Daniel prayed. And notice when you look at the text in verse 10 that Daniel had a regular lifestyle of prayer. That when he heard about the decree, that he opened his windows and he prayed 3 times that day. And he gave thanks to God. And look at the last part of verse 10. As was his custom since early days. You see, Daniel had prayed like this every day since early days of his life. And by this time, Daniel is not a young man anymore. And he has spent a lifetime in prayer. Prayers are answered. Prayer time is well spent time. spend time in prayer. Make it your custom. Make it your habit every day to communicate with God. Prayer time is well spent time because it prepares us for the challenges of life. You know, Daniel kind of had an inkling of what was on the horizon. Daniel kind of had maybe an idea of what was about to happen. But Daniel was ready for it. Because he had spent every day, and the text tells us three times a day, with God. And now that power, that faith, those resources that were in his heart and mind and soul, Daniel would rely upon in the lion's den. Sometimes, whether you're expecting it or not, you may find yourself in the lion's den. What are you going to fall back on? What are you going to rely on? What's going to sustain you? What's going to keep your head level and your heart calm? Prayer time is well spent time. And our eighth and final application that we want to make this morning really comes from the word of the song that we sing every now and then. There's no other way but to trust and obey. There is no other way but to trust and obey. Daniel knew what the consequences were if he prayed. Daniel knew these people were looking for him. Daniel knew why they had kind of connived the king into signing this order. Daniel understood because he was a perceptive man with a lot of wisdom. But while Daniel knew that maybe he couldn't stop these fellow administrators, while Daniel knew maybe he couldn't do things that would prevent them from passing this law or prevent them from being so jealous and hateful and conniving and you know, so ungodly, while Daniel knew that he couldn't work with these people, he knew he could work with himself, and he knew that God was working with him. And although he couldn't have faith in many of the people around him, he could have faith in the one above him. Daniel knew his God. And Daniel knew his God would bless him. That's faith. That's faith in spite of a crooked law. That's faith in spite of whatever may have occurred here and all transpired. That's faith. Because there is no other way. There is no other way but to trust and obey. This morning, I ask you, like Daniel, do you trust God? Do you trust His Word? Maybe you have been, or you're about to be, or you're in the middle of the lion's den. Maybe it's not going very well for you. Maybe you feel like things are about to shut down. Maybe you feel like the lion is about to consume you. Trust God. Trust and obey. Do you trust God? Do you believe His Word? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that He died on the cross and shed His blood for your sins? Do you believe that if you are baptized in His name, those sins are washed away and you're put in a saving relationship with the God of heaven? If you are ready to trust and obey, we encourage you to come this morning trusting and obeying as we stand and we sing.